The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life. It's better with you.
Hello, welcome, my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
Vroom, vroom, Trav Nation, it's me, your middlest brother, Big Dog Wolf Wolf McElroy.
That could be thunder or the sound of a car engine that is far away. I'm Griffin
I forgot McElroy. To say Travis.
Yeah, that's Travis. I am realizing
well, that's Griffin.
That
Griffin's just, in my, Griffin's got shotgun,
yep.
And we're gunning it.
And Justin's in the side trunk.
Yeah. Oh, I'm shit. In the trunk. I'm in the boot, if you will. I'm realizing I had this moment, this chilling moment when we started recording and we were doing our introductions, and then I let my mind drift, as the human mind oft does, to the introductions. And I realized I don't know.
We don't know how that's going to go.
We did it again.
Yeah.
We did
so
it
let's
again.
Not.
I mean,
really
I included a Fungalore wish.
No, can't do that. That was last year. Don't
can we do it like, can we say it's like instead of a wish to Fungalore, it is a question to make the car go?
It's absolutely a question we should have had on the production meeting that we did yesterday.
No, but
that
you is, know, that, Justin, that is art what? Is a living thing.
Art's alive and we should live within document. It, like Osmosis Jones.
Yeah, exactly like Osmosis Jones. That's a man without fear.
That is, he's living faster than fear for sure.
Now, Travis... it's been a little bit. You were traveling. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm traveling faster than fear, Justin. Thank you for asking. I'm feeling great. I'm over my strep throat. I did have a day, speaking of Osmosis Jones, where one day, and this was like before I started my antibiotics, where suddenly, like, and I didn't even have a fever, but it was like my fever broke and I felt like 25% better instantly. And my first thought, I shit you not, was there's an Osmosis Jones in there fighting the
just
good
blasted.
Fight.
Yeah.
Just somebody just got absolutely melted by an Osmosis Jones and I feel better.
It could have been him. It could have been David Hyde Pierce zapped Thrax, if you'll remember, was the bad guy in Osmosis Jones.
Yeah, he was like a Tylenol, I think, who killed Anthrax.
He was like a Tylenol that killed Anthrax.
Now, but hold on. Thrax is just the name. He's not Anthrax because Bill Murray got it from eating a monkey's dirty egg off the ground. There's a lot in that movie that reaches beyond like the limits of my capacity to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where Bill Murray picks up a dirty egg off the ground and just gooshes it into his nasty mouth has really clearly stuck with me.
There's a scene where there's a party in a bar inside a pimple, if I remember correctly.
That's not important.
Yes.
The stuff that happens
inside
the body is
not important.
No, but
I'm saying is that I could try to explain this movie to someone who hasn't seen it, and it's going to sound like a fever dream or like a made-up thing.
And he gets anthrax from eating a monkey's dirty egg off the ground. Right. I don't think that's where anthrax came from.
No, it was from the government mail.
Awesome.
So it went through the government.
Like Publishers Clearinghouse.
Publishers Clearinghouse
so
or birthday cards.
Just fucking jazzing right now, guys. I'm loving it after two whole weeks of basically telling the same joke over and over again.
So
I feel
this week
so
we'll be
excited.
Picking a new name for the year.
God,
this
what
is,
if?
Okay, this is actually really good. I was trying to figure out why I was feeling so creatively backed up. And I mean, literally, like I can feel it in me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the jokes.
The bile.
And, like, we recorded my brother made a couple of times. Why didn't that slake my thirst? And it's like, well, you didn't do any jokes.
No.
you didn't do any jokes. You barely were creative. Like, you know what I mean?
No, like, at that point, we were pagliacci-ing around of like people are laughing because of the sad clowns in front of them, but we weren't actually making jokes.
I love this new podcast where a monk whips his back with the cat of nine tails until God whispers the future into his ear. They did two of them this year.
We did it, and one day we'll forget. That's what I look forward to, is forgetting about this whole debacle.
It's the day in like 2032 when we're going back over the past years, and then we get to 25.
We'll remember the name. I'm saying a shiver will go up my spine.
What I need to know is, and what I think we should have clarified last week, and I will very briefly mention this and move on. Do we have an asterisk situation, or is this a dual theme?
Absolutely not a dual theme. Tummy buddy time stuff, I think we can drop in there.
Saying it right.
Yeah, tummy buddy life, I think, is going to end up being like one of those things where like there was an interim, but they still get listed hypothetically amongst the things, you know?
Yes.
Where it's like if a president like has to undergo surgery and be put under, and it's like for that hour, the vice president was president. That's like tummy buddy life. But when we're listing it, in like the proper,
I would just assume it's not mentioned.
It's a brief interregnum. Nothing more need be said.
Yeah,
this is also an advice show. Well, we do need to said more things because
we do need to said more things.
We need to said more things.
Yeah,
I recently started working at a Magnum PI agency, and one of the things we do.
That's not what it. There's no way it says that, right?
I recently started working at a PI agency, and
I think it's just PI.
I recently started working at a Raspberry Pi factory, and
these dang things just keep hitting me in the face.
I recently started working at a PI agency, and one of the things we do pretty often is run background checks for clients. However, the more I run them, the more curious I get about what my background check might show. Mm-hmm. The problem is we do have to justify every background check. The confirmed story is someone ran a check on a very famous celebrity.
Me?
And that understandably raised some red flags with the site we use. We now have to justify every background check to the site and our bosses. Understandably so.
Yeah.
My question is, what reason can I give to run a background check on myself? That's from Curiosity Kills the Cat in Pittsburgh. Now, I want to help you, but first, I want to talk about this spy company. Listen. Hey, pal. Listen. I pay you for the spy stuff, all right? I can use that nasty spy stuff on anybody I want to.
Right.
And I don't need you judging me about who I'm spying on and being a creepy sneak, okay? I pay you.
No, so Justin, you're missing the point. As soon as you, the customer, say, give me a full background check, I'm like Tom Hardy. Now there's a reason to do it. But because that's money. But the employee can't just do it out of curiosity. Justin McRoy, as long as you pay them, I don't know, $5 or whatever, you can run your nasty, dirty background check on anybody you want to.
No questions asked. Which does raise the question, if I can just go to a website to get background checks done on anybody I want, anytime I want, why do I need a private investigator? Because it seems like...
You have to pay an annual fee to log into the thing.
And they have the bookmarks saved already and the passwords already in there. It's just like
it's a long password.
I've done that. I ran background checks on you guys.
And also, if someone figures out what you're doing and they try to bring the heat to you, you need a long gone daddy fist of steel who can come be in your corner and help punch you out of a jam, you know?
Yeah, for sure. This guy sounds cool. Tell me more about him, Juice.
Yeah, I was going to go down an avenue of like joking about background checks on you guys, but now I'm interested
more about
in this
long gone daddy.
This long gone daddy with fist of steel who's in my corner because I wanted to find out about Tom Holland or Tom Hardy or both of them. Are they going to beat up Tom Hardy for me?
No. That's all the detective stuff that I know.
Oh, okay, cool.
There's a long gone daddy with fists of steel.
That's
a very selective
Miles of Shoe Leather.
It was from a Bruce McCullough song that I was remembering, and then I don't remember any more of it. So that's it.
You need somebody to hire your PI company to investigate you.
Yeah, now watches the Watchmen
to investigate the PI companies, and that is what I'm offering to you, Sharks.
Huh. So a public investigation company.
Of the private.
There's a lot of private investigators. Where's the public investigator who just stands on a street corner like, you guys know You know, Steve,
there should be a free service that solves crimes.
Yes, right?
Why haven't we invented that yet?
Right.
Are you worried if you guys got a background investigation done on yourself? I figure there's three possibilities, right? One, there's stuff on there you weren't expecting. Stuff on there, like not stuff on there that should have been on there. Or like, yeah, that's me. Which one of those three options
is most
satisfying to you?
I mean, I would want it to be accurate. I would hope. I wouldn't want it to have a bunch
like,
of. I don't want it to
feel fun. Like if I wanted a background check and I got a background check and I was like, yeah, that's it.
I mean, what do you want to be on there? I guess, Trav.
I don't know. Find out a secret about myself I didn't know.
You know what I always hope for? You don't see this as much because of the internet. But when I was a kid, they used to publish these big lists of people that the government owed money to. Like,
oh yeah.
Come get this money. We got the money for you. Come get it. And I would love to discover something like that. That would be great. Yeah. If they're like, secretly, the government has $400 for you, no problem.
Talked about before, I think on the show, Griffin and I have very similar Social Security numbers. And that's because apparently our parents didn't get me one when I was born. And then Griffin was born. And they were like, we'll just get them both done at the same time.
And that's efficient. When you got three rowdy boys, sometimes you got to look for little corners you can cut.
And hey, folks, before you start judging our parents, they didn't have like cell phones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, I looked it up because for a long time I was like, that seems shady because they didn't let me leave the hospital with my kids until I had one. And that apparently didn't start until like 1987. But for a long time I was like, there's a story
off
here.
The grid. Yeah.
If we started talking too much as kids, they didn't have an iPad they could give us. They had to do it the old fashioned way.
Just turn the lights off.
Face down on the carpet, then run out of the room real fast.
Mr. Beast wasn't even alive yet.
No,
Mr. Beast was dead. He was unborn.
Our Mr. Beast was Mr. Bean. That's how. Mm-hmm. When Mr. Beast was just Mr. Bean in
because
Mom's
Mr.
belly.
Bean, Mr. Wizard, Mr. Beast. In
our Mr.
Order.
Beast was an old man who would show up at your house and give you a check from the Publisher's Clearinghouse.
And we liked
that was
it.
Our Mr. Beast. He didn't do anything fun. He didn't make blood sports for everyone to compete in.
What reason could there be?
I got enemied, and there's a version of me out there walking around. Maybe you've seen them. They are getting a lot of fights, and they run a lot of stop signs, and they're getting me in a lot of trouble. So I need to check my background because I have forgotten which one of us is the real one.
Oh.
I watched Enemy on a plane, and I think that's what happens in that film.
It's just called Enemy?
Is it called Enemy on a Plane?
It's not called Enemy on a Plane. That would be cool. It would be a much more condensed version of the film if there were two Jake Gyllenhaals on the same plane.
To be
fair,
Enemy
on a Plane,
they
wouldn't have to look for each other.
That's how I feel every time I get on a plane and somebody immediately like hits me weird and I'm like, that's my enemy on this plane. Whatever that, I see them out of the corner of my eye. They're making faces when a baby's crying.
Truly an unhinged way to live your life.
You guys don't do that? You don't create little kayfabe wherever you go?
I don't need rivals. Like, I already have so many haters crawling out of the woodwork to come and grab my stash.
Sometimes it's nice to just have a little private ire towards someone where you're saying, I don't like that, but they'll never know it.
I have something like that, and it's the opposite, and it's called getting through the day, and it's where I have to tell myself, you love this person. You're all just trying to get through.
Everyone's doing it.
Hey,
I'm not going to act on it. It's not like, and I've decided to say so. It's just like when
secret.
They do something, it makes me feel superior
to
them.
But
little hate
on
in
it,
your heart.
Travis, you got to.
Not
your
hate,
thoughts,
judgment.
Your thoughts have energy. Right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You're telling your heart that with your brain.
Yeah,
your
I'm powering the plane with my energy.
Some people are really susceptible to that stuff.
Some people are, Trav.
I'm a big energy guy.
Have you noticed that, Trav? He's more of an energy guy.
I mean, look
guy.
At him. He's doing jazz hands.
Travis, even you saying that gave out a pulse. Gave out a pulse, a different vibration, and I'm feeling it now. And I got to say, it put a bad taste in my mouth.
So what you're saying, Griffin, is that I'm sending negativity to you, and
you're doing it right now to me right now, and I'm picking it up with my dish.
Tell your boss you're looking for a new job, and you're worried about what's going to show up on your background check. And then if it's bad, tell your boss, on second thought, I guess I'll stay here. I'm worried about some stuff that may or may not be about to come to the surface. And I, this is for you, because if I'm in your employ when this stuff comes out, it's not good for anybody.
Not great.
And then at the end of the day, you're like, remember earlier, I just want to say psych.
Got you.
Here's another question.
Please.
How do I show a hairdresser what kind of hair I want without showing them a photo of Sonic's dad from the Sonic movies played by James Marsden? That's from Sonic 3 is 4 out of 5 stars.
That's good. That's a great rating for that. That film's so stupid and so much fucking fun. Man, I can't recommend Sonic 3 enough.
Am I going to see Sonic 3 by myself?
Did you see Sonic 2?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you got to see Sonic 3. Love this little guy. I can't get enough of him.
Why not show him a picture of James Marsters?
No.
James Marsters is a different guy.
Marsden.
It's one of the hardest things to remember in life is which one each one is. And this is something that we all struggle with all the time.
Yeah, I think if it's Marsters, they're coming from the top. If it's Marsden, it's a bear in a den. That's how I remember
it. Yeah, that's the good mnemonic device. You could show them, I just spitballing here, a picture of James Marsters from James Marsden. I did it too. You show him a picture of James Marsden from any other project. If I could recommend, what is the jury show? Jury Duty? That's a good one. He's great in that.
What about just like a series of James Marsden from different things? Like, and I could look like this guy from X-Men, or this guy from Sonic, or this guy from Superman Returns.
They're like, hey, these are all James Marsden. Like, it's weird.
Now that you mention it.
That is weird.
Yeah.
What incredible hair James Marsden has. I'm looking at pictures in heaven.
And it's like consistent.
It's so rock steady, but it looks stylish.
It's like rock steady in a shaggy way. It's amazing. Like, it looks like it always looks great. I mean, this is what I'm like aspiring to and can never.
Honestly, I think you are close, getting closer all the time. I'm looking at your hair. I'm looking at James Marsden hair. It's not that different.
The problem is James Marsden hair in the Sonic movies is not consistent. He's growing with Sonic, isn't he? As Sonic,
like an emotional
if you compare Sonic 1 Sonic's dad to Sonic 3 Sonic's dad, I feel like as the radical attitude of Sonic
is teaching him,
helping him to grow, I think he's got a little bit more of a waterfall in the back.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
It's fun. God, he looks so cool.
Sonic, James Marsden has hair like in a video game where you're building a character and like Stardew, for example, and you put a haircut on them and it's like, that's their hair.
It's the platonic
every
ideal.
Every time you see them.
It's standard hair.
You know what I love about James Marsden?
Tell me now.
There's a lot.
I'm getting worked up.
Yeah. Here's what I love about James Marsden is that it all seems attainable. A lot of guys.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, you look at these Brad Pitts. You know what I mean? You're like, never.
Different echelon.
You look at James Marsden, and folks, if you don't do this, you're going to laugh, but you look at James Marsden, and there's something about him where
there's
you're like,
something there.
Maybe if I guess he's approachable, right? When in reality.
Yes. You don't mean approachable like approachable and like talking to you. You mean approachable I could approach that level.
I could, you know, it's like, I think most straight white men want to be James Marsden, but they can't realize when they've gotten there, and they just keep pushing
past
it.
Well, they want to be George Clooney, but they would be happy to be
James Marsden. No, that's not true. No, I don't want to be him in the same way I don't want to be some sort of space angel. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't be a horse. I can't just become a unicorn.
I see.
But James Marsden, if I put a lot of work into my appearance.
I
don't know, man. He's got a jawline.
It's not, but the fact that you're right is immaterial.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's a mental thing, right? But I also think that makes it easy to root for James Marsden, because it's like, he's like one of us. You know, like when someone, like you're watching whatever the one where, what's his face? Mark Wahlberg gets to play for the Eagles. And it's like, he's one of us. He's made it. When I see James Marsden out there doing it, I'm like, yeah, man, there's a handsomer version of myself.
Travis, yes. It's so wild that this super handsome dude that got to be Cyclops at X-Men, I'm still like, come on, James.
You can get there.
You can get him.
But you're rooting for James.
What?
But you're rooting for James Marsden.
He's in like the only movies people go see anymore. He was in X-Men. He's super
and Superman.
Handsome.
Yeah.
And Superman. His hair's great.
He got cucked by Superman.
He's fine. He's doing just fine.
If I mewed hard enough for long enough, do you think I could get a James Marsden chin? If
I'm going to say yes, even though the answer is no, but I feel yes.
I don't think I know how to do it.
So he's a Sigma Chad, is what you're saying.
I can't get into the labels.
Is James Marsden a Sigma Chad?
I can really stretch my neck muscles out like a fucking frog. Are you guys seeing this shit?
When I mew, I feel like I'm just hiding a gross anthrax egg in my mouth.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to talk more about how handsome and talented and funny James Marsden is? Because if you do,
we'll save that for the Patreon exclusive.
Here's the thing. I feel like, you know, in my brain, I have a number of likelihood of most people of whether or not they could ever like be on an episode of Clubhouse or something.
Yeah.
And James Marsden's is like weirdly high. And yeah. I in a way that I don't think reflects reality, but
not at all.
I'm like at a 30%, like a 20% chance.
Yeah.
That we could get James Marsden.
It's weird that feels right.
He has really cast a spell on you, Justin.
20% is low, I will remind you.
Is it? If someone told you he had a 20% chance of winning the lottery, you'd be buying a ticket every day.
And those two events
this
are
is all
equivalent.
I mean, Griffin, tell me about your wiki. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your wiki.
Hadn't done one in a while. This one was sent by a lot of people. A lot of people sent this one, and I do appreciate it. And it's how to have an imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend.
Huh.
Inventing an imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend is easy. All it takes is imagination. Yeah, no shit,
well, yeah,
man.
Dude. Well,
of course.
It depends on, I would say, what your end goal is. Because
you could have you're right. Yeah, you could have a non-imaginative imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend.
Well, I'm saying if I'm trying to have an imaginary partner in order to convince people I have an imaginary partner, then maybe a powerful imagination is actually detrimental.
That's true. Wow.
That's true.
Yeah. So maybe this whole article we're about to read is going to be wrong, and it's just going to be like, don't say anything about them.
Yes.
Keep it open and empty so that you can not get caught at any point. Let's start out with create your partner beforehand. Have a firm grasp of who they are, where they're from, what they do, et cetera, before sharing them with anyone. So that's the opposite of what I just said.
Yes.
So maybe I think maybe let's go with the wiki on this one because they probably put more work into thinking about this stuff.
Can you imagine if you decided I'm going to convince like my coworkers that I'm dating someone and you show up. And you're like, I started dating this new person. And then you spend an hour and a half listing off everything about them. And then they're like, how long have you guys been dating? And you're like, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's been a passionate, mostly text-based, relationship.
You listed off their height in centimeters. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that are important when you're getting to know someone.
She's from London, England. So to make her feel comfortable, I have gone metric. Don't give yourself away by taking the time to think up lies on the spot. That's true.
I've been watching
a lot of Traitors. I think I'd beat ass at that show because I can always tell if someone pauses for even a microsecond. I catch that shit like bull. I catch that shit like bull easy.
Like bull from Night Court?
Bull from Bull.
Bull from the movie Bull. in the TV show as well. My secret talent in this area would be if I was trying to like trick people with this kind of thing is that I genuinely don't remember a lot of stuff that people or don't know.
You have plausible deniability.
Deniability, like where people are like, and this guy and this and yada yada yada. Like I probably legitimately do not recall if that was the case or not. And I feel like that would be enough of a smokescreen. Like I believe I do have a Canadian partner. of some sort.
What province? I don't know, man.
Province, I don't know.
What are they even called?
Make it memorable, I guess, is what Justin is saying. Like, pick a name like Jameson Hard Rock, and like you won't forget that.
Or start forgetting important stuff months out.
cool.
Where it's like, I drive a, I want to say red. Like, you know, like.
Oh, about yourself too?
Yeah, where if people later, months later, are like, tell me about your boyfriend, and you go up on details.
Yeah.
It's like, that's par for the course.
That's them.
Like, you often forget.
That's helpful for a lot of stuff too, I imagine. Yeah.
It's called lowering expectations, it's probably my superpower.
Keep your partner believable. Expect people to ask questions about them. Keep your answers grounded in what you know for sure. Expect people to ask questions about them is interesting. Because
as is what you know for sure.
Right.
Them not being real at all.
I don't know that when someone says I'm dating someone new, I might ask a couple questions. I don't think I'm going to get that deep into what province are they from.
If you're someone who feels the need to invent a partner to convince people you have a partner, the idea that you're going to seamlessly slip it into conversation in a way that makes people ask a lot of questions is also expecting a lot from you.
Yeah, this is interesting, though, because as an addendum to this point, it says either give your imaginary partner an upbringing similar to your own so you can speak about it with authority or
they
model
grew up
them
in my house.
You're me. Or model them on someone you know well enough to borrow a plausible background, like a best friend, roommate, or cousin. That's troubling.
Maybe not that one's troubling. One.
Yeah. Their name
is... Yeah, how did I meet them? Our dads are brothers.
Their name is Susan McElroy.
No, it's cool, man. We did 23andMe, and it's four people back. So
it's four, so it's five.
I think that's cool.
Use the truth whenever possible. Bolster stories about your partner with real details. Huh? If you tell people about a date or day trip you went on with your partner, use places you've actually been to.
Okay. Like real details from stuff you've done.
Yes, that's awesome.
That's really good. This is kind of lying 101. I love all this. I think this is all great stuff. This person is overcomplicating it, though. I have found with the rapid growth in Hallmark original Christmas productions that you really don't need to go through all this trouble.
Uh-huh.
If you look around, there is probably someone pretending to be a boyfriend or girlfriend near you at any given moment. You can hop into one of these productions.
Yeah.
Like that, you don't, that's scripted. You know what I mean? Or if you fake it long enough, imagine eventually people are going to start filming scenes with you.
Yes.
For inclusion in a Hallmark Christmas,
and if there's
Christmas
one thing,
movie.
If there's one thing I've learned from movies and TV shows, it's that especially if you want to move up in the corporate world, they feel more comfortable giving those kinds of jobs to married people. It's all they seem to talk about in movies. So you should be able to just find another person in that similar position, right? And just say like, hey, you also want to be like CEO of a company. I do too.
Right.
But we need to be married before they'll let us do
this
that.
You're so far outside the purview of this question. You're so lost in the sauce
that's
right
not in
now.
There?
Getting married, having a sham marriage is actually not involved with how to have an imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend.
That's
those
an
two
easy one. Just roll up wearing a wedding ring one day. I'm just like, I'm married.
You
now.
Are still so far outside of your jurisdiction in this question and what it's trying to
propose. Oh, I didn't mean to cross state lines.
I'm just saying it's asking how to imagine a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you're saying how to have a sham marriage.
Well, that's I once different. Again point out, Griffin, that the title isn't how to convince other people that you have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Right? Because this is not a good way to do
this. This could
that.
Be fun. Yeah, no, this could just be a fun little exercise for you. Give a good reason for their absence. When you create your imaginary partner, think space?
They're in space. They're astronauts.
Not that they need space.
No, they have too much of it, frankly. They're up there in it. And they're not going to be back here for 45 years, actually. They are traveling to Mars.
My boyfriend? You mean Dr. Gideon... Strongfoot? He's in outer space right now on the ISS.
Yeah, he's just going to be hurt. The space elevator doors just closed. He's on his way up, man.
Oh, wait. I'm going to get a call from him now. I can't hear you over the loud space toilet, Dr. Gideon Hardfoot.
This is going to be hard for you to understand, but he is currently hurtling away from me, but he's going to perform what's called a temporal pincer maneuver.
Yeah.
He's going to slingshot around the sun through a black hole, and he is actually going to be here in time for dinner with us tonight.
Cool.
But if he's not here now, he will be here later. But in this reality,
listen,
it will just change.
Outer space
will always
really
have been
far
here.
Away. Yeah.
As long as you're imagining this partner, why not go... go the whole nine yards and tell them the absence, the reason my partner's not here, they're a vampire. Can't come out during the day. That's a real problem for them. At night, he's hunting and protecting me from the werewolf faction that's always trying to... And then they're like, what? Vampires aren't real. And you're like, neither's my boyfriend. So now who looks stupid?
But it's,
I just feel like if you're going to suggest stuff that they clearly said in the question you can't do, then you are really not living within the, sort of the strictures that have been granted to you. Like, they did say to not make it imaginative, and you're like giving them leathery bat wings so they can rule over
the
night court.
So they can fight and suck blood and live forever. It's a fantastical world, and I think it's great. But again, it's slightly outside the purview. Can you point to a little earbud you have in your ear and say, it's a her? It's a her. I can't, you won't be able to see them because I've got a her in my ear from the movie Her.
So we're inventing to impress people. You're inventing an AI girlfriend.
Vampire out of the question. AI girlfriend.
That is now we're some points with the maybe big, just man, the big boss upstairs.
Go a different way. And they're like, how come we've never met them? And be like, well, it's pretty rocky. Things haven't been going very well between
us. It's not a good relationship.
So you're trying to impress them with a bad relationship.
People won't ask questions. That's actually really good. No one's going to ask questions after that. How are things with you and Samantha?
We don't get along very well, but
bad. Yeah. We simply do not like each other very much.
Yeah. But neither one of us is ready to pull the trigger on it. So, you know
what
I mean?
Be consistent. Come up with one story, the tale of my amazing new partner, and stick to that one story with everyone you know. They put it in quotes.
Did you write that title of that story?
Nope.
Or did they come
up with one story, parentheses, quote, the tale of my amazing new partner, quote,
what's
in
that,
parentheses.
Susan? You'd like to hear the tale of my amazing new partner? Sit down by the fire.
Let me favor you with it, Susan.
Derek, play upon the pipe. Accompany me.
It's a tale I know well.
They suggest keeping a diary of events you've done. Also, keeping up to date with weather in the city where they live, so that you could talk about, well, she's trapped in the freak blizzard. It's what it says.
Starting to feel like a lot of work.
It is a lot.
I gotta tell Pete, I wish... If you want to convince people if you want to convince people you're not weird and you're normal, you got to stop doing weird things. you're trying to convince people that you're a normal, cool person.
Yeah.
That has a,
and that's all
that
we, and that's and all we
that
need. That's all we want for
that's
you
good,
on this
but
show.
You have to live within that truth. And for me, that means not looking at the weather in the city where your imaginary girlfriend lives. That's why you're weird. You have to stop doing things
trying
like
to
that.
Be weird enough that you become cool. Is not going
exactly
to work.
Like I'm so off. Like no one goes so off the rails that they find themselves back on other rails where they're like, I'm so so weird that everyone thinks it's like cool and working for me.
I've convinced everyone I'm cool by being so weird.
This next step seems impossible.
TikTok, that would have been such a huge sound.
Fuck TikTok. Huge. Is it? Do you think it's still going to be there by the time this episode comes out?
By the time this episode is up, this is TikTok.
I'm thinking there's a last minute Hail Mary.
Hail Mary for sure.
Save it.
Come on. So this one's impossible. Enlist someone you trust to help. Coach them on who your partner is, what they look like, how they interact with people, what they like and what they don't like to talk about. If I had this person in my life, I wouldn't need to invent an imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend. If I had someone who I could trust so deeply that I could get them in on the con of my imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend, any sort of intimacy needs or human connection that I need, I have in that incredible friend.
Could you thread the needle on a romantic comedy where a guy insists the help of his girl best friend in inventing a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see the girl that loves him is right there because he's so busy inventing a girlfriend that doesn't exist.
That is definitely a movie that already
exists. That's 10 movies.
Now, here's what's more interesting, right? Especially if your coworkers have been in relationships for a while or are married. Don't invent a fake boyfriend or girlfriend. Invent a fake potential boyfriend or girlfriend. That you're like, oh, there's some sparks, right? Like, I don't know. I really like them. I don't know how they feel about me. That's interesting. There's tension there.
There's
once
tension.
You're like in the relationship, after a while, it's like, okay, cool, man. Please stop talking about this.
That's
person.
Also all I want to hear about, too.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, like I'm 44. If you like, you think there's something sparky with you and the flinty coffee shop guy, like, great, man.
Absolutely.
Let's hear about that.
Especially if I start to suspect you're making it up. Then I'm going to get
even
really,
more. Oh,
really
then I
curious.
Want every single detail.
This next step is where I think it maybe goes too far. And it is to give your partner an online presence.
Okay.
Here is you. You've lost me. You're catfishing yourself. You're Matt fishing. If your name is Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just fishing, I think, at this point.
You're actually putting catfish into the water. Is what
you're
happening.
You're it's a real. You're
yeah. What is that called? You're opening up the plane.
The sluice.
And just dropping. Yeah. Yes. Thousands of pounds.
You've set up your own like trout cannon or whatever they're called.
You're seeding the pond.
I saw that happen once when I was a reporter for the Iron Tribune. I was there when they drew this. Brought this huge stupid truck, and they sent a reporter, man, to this huge stupid truck to the back of Lake Vesuvius. And they just open it out, and there's about a million of the most fucking confused fish you've ever seen in your entire.
Just oh man!
Blasting out of it.
Yeah, what a party,
there was, guys! There was probably 200 fucking people, just like yeah, woo! And I was one of them because that's amazing.
Yeah,
there
were
so many fish.
I wish, Justin, that you had the scientific capabilities to interview one of those fish. Because the story they're going to tell of like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where I am.
I hope
fucking
to God.
Fascinating.
Guys, if you are good at internet and you start digging through the Iron Tribune website, you could probably find a picture that I took.
Of
with the headline,
fish.
I don't fucking know, man. It was wild.
Look at all these fish.
With the headline, check this shit out.
Let's go to the money zone. I'll tell you who's really got my number, who ran a background check on me and knows everything that they need to know to do what they need to do and do it right, and that is Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix, I've been using for a while. Always look forward to getting a box of duds. But using Stitch Fix taught me about my personal style, and so I found some brands elsewhere that I found, and I liked the clothes, liked the way it fit. You know what's happened, guys? Stitch Fix has started to send me stuff from those freaking brands. They've got me so dialed in. They have their oracles, their fashion oracles, have seen my future, and they know exactly what I like. I'm
Griffin,
keeping
can I try
everything
something real
in these
quick?
Boxes. Yeah, sure.
Here's the thing about these duds. They're no duds. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
These duds aren't duds. There's probably a cleaner
these
version.
These duds aren't
like,
duds.
There's no duds here.
No duds here.
No duds in these duds.
No duds.
So all of that was to say that Stitch Fix is good at what they do, and that is sending you stuff to try on, and then you keep what you want, and you send back what
and
you want.
And they all explode. No,
they don't explode.
What explodes?
With fashion? Because they're not duds.
No, come on.
Oh, like these are live fire. Yeah. Like these are fireworks.
No, I know it's not there.
I don't actually think. Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, the copy doesn't mention anything about jazzing up what their whole brand and like what their whole identity is. It doesn't say. No, there's some stuff in here about like you get a stylist and then they like figure out your stuff. Yeah, but it doesn't say anything about jazz up a tagline for us. Travi is not.
Well, no, that's implied. There's an assumed service.
Okay. Yeah, cool. I do like Stitch Fix a lot. It's got personal styling.
I'm
for
wearing
everyone.
Stitch Fix right now.
Yes, I have Stitch Fix jeans on, and they know what makes my tuchus work.
They do.
Personal styling for everyone. Get started today at stitchfix.com/brother. That's stitchfix.com/brother.
Eating great, nutritious stuff, it doesn't have to be hard. It'd be easy, actually. And that's a surprise to you at this point in your life. You've been told lies. That's right. I'm here to tell you the truth about Marley Spoon. Hi, you want to fast track your way to eating well without the stress? Check out Marley Spoon. They give you over 100 recipes to choose from every week. They got cozy comfort food like a beef stroganoff or maybe something a little lighter fare.
More like stroganon.
Salmon and creamy mustard dill sauce tray bake. Imagine. They just launched a new 15-minute express recipes. That's going to be great for me and my busy family. They put 3 of these in the menu every week. You got a few extra minutes to spare. They also have 20-minute options, too, if you want to. You're pressed for time.
And but Justin?
Yeah?
Do they have anything from Martha Stewart?
Yeah, they got at least 2 of Martha's incredible recipes every single week. And gotta check that. If you don't trust Martha, who can you trust?
Do they have any recipes from French Stewart?
They do.
Yeah, actually.
He ghost wrote a lot of these. That man's got a palate you would not believe.
This new year, fast track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. head on over to marleyspoon.com/offer/mybrother and use code mybrother for up to 27 free meals. That's right, up to 27 free meals.
That's like a whole year.
One last time, that's
that's it's not. It's not, man.
Yes, I love Marley Spoon. I eat two every month.
They send you these 2 week turbo meals, each one worth 140,000 calories.
They stuff you up so bad, yeah, you wouldn't believe it. And if you try to slice it up, they know. They won't send you anymore. They're never going to do this again. We always fuck up. There's not enough advertisers for us to keep doing this. We got to stop doing this.
Okay, let's be clear then. Marley Spoon doesn't send you giant brick-like 120,000-calorie turbo meals. They send you normal meals.
Normal-sized meals. Head on over to marleyspoon.com/offer/mybrother and use offer code mybrother for up to 27 free meals.
And make sure you use our promo code, my brother, so they know we sent you.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depresh Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations, happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depresh Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Alston.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
When should I stop telling people to have a good night? I work overnights at a truck stop, typically from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And my heart says morning starts at 5 a.m. because that's the time they announce a new day in Animal Crossing. But it feels weird to wish people a good night at 4:30 a.m. Am I wrong about when morning starts? Is there a time-neutral way to wish someone well? That's from Time Sensitive in Texas.
I wanted to talk about this because this, I have a couple, and I know these are me, weird hang-ups about this. And one is like, good morning feels like such a greeting. Uh-huh. Good night feels like such a like parting.
Right.
It also feels weird at like 11:30 a.m. that I would say good morning.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, afternoon is until afternoon. Like, there's so many of
isn't
like,
it weird? It feels isn't it weird, weird that if you walk up to someone at a truck stop and they're like, good morning, you'd be like, oh, good morning. If you walk up to someone at a truck stop and they're like, good night.
I love you.
This is what I'm saying.
Should I leave? No, good night.
Good night.
Do you want me to, should I go?
But there's a different, this isn't good night. This is,
but if they
night.
Say, now explain this one to me. Good evening.
Oh,
like,
God.
They say that. That's
don't
cool.
let them
that's
in.
Fine.
Good evening is welcoming. Good night is get out of here. Have a good night is a blessing. Have a good night has a power and an intention behind it. And I think that it's really strong. And I love a have a good night.
Okay,
I'll take a have a good
what,
night over a good
what,
morning.
I think this is what Griffin is hitting on here, right? I think it's about what's in front of you.
Okay.
Ooh.
So if you think this is a judgment on the person, I think. Because what you're really saying is, have a good rest of your day.
Uh-huh.
If this person seems to be starting their day, that makes sense. But if they seem to be wrapping up, like heading to bed,
have
then
good
it's
night.
Good night. But I think it's contextual to the person.
What about, that's interesting. What do you guys think about have a good one?
I love have a good one.
Hey,
I
have a good one.
Have a good one.
As like, you finish your transaction at this truck stop, you say have a good one, could be... Have a good drive.
I
have
will
a good sleep. Have a good night. Have a good
like
morning.
That's probably my number. Have a good one is like, For me, it's some Fulty. Combination of have a good one, hang in there.
Yeah. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Keep your head on a swivel. Oh, and if I like the person, sometimes they'll get to keep it sleazy.
Yeah, so that's nice. Yeah.
Or take her sleazy.
Take it sleazy. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Have fun out there.
Hang in there is a good one because I think everybody needs to hear that. Like, I think everybody would welcome a hang in there. It's a good confirmation that your situation requires hanging in there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where we could really improve this whole thing. Because obviously the fabric of society is just unraveling before we speak.
We got to
fuse it back together and make a little bit more connection in our life. Instead of good morning, let's swap out the good part for something more direct or actionable.
Oh my God. Strong, what if they walk strong, in and you're like, bad morning?
No. That's not what I'm saying either, Justin. Okay. I'm saying give them a direction, like strong morning. Brave morning.
Ooh.
And then you're telling them like, you should be brave this. Be brave today.
Have a powerful
All
day.
All I ever want is for us to just, now a lot of our like, the things that we say are from sort of our naval or mariner history. That's especially common in cultures.
Right. Do you mean about like us as McElroys, our naval history?
Us as a people. And I feel like I always am very drawn to greetings and stuff about the sea, right? Or the winds.
Mm-hmm.
May the winds find you on the sea of adventure.
Yeah. Even you saying that there gave me douche chills, juice, if I'm being honest. If anyone hit me with a fair winds traveler,
No, okay. But if I walk into a truck stop at 2 a.m. and the person behind the counter is like, fair winds, traveler, I'm good. That will help me out immensely. Man. I would be fucking stoked, actually, and I will probably linger because that's pretty cool.
As a vendor or shopkeep, you can hit me with a fair winds traveler.
How many times would they have to say, greetings, weary traveler? Before it becomes so natural for
that
them.
I don't like. There's don't no like profession.
No,
a hotel manager could hit me with a greetings, weary traveler. I will turn around. I will get on hotels tonight. I will find different lodgings.
You're not going to sleep
your
in
bones
the same
by the slurpee machine.
No, I don't need that.
Come in. Sup upon our pretzel dogs.
If it's going to be novel, it has to be a goodbye because I need to be out of there. I need to know that I'm not about to hang out with.
No. If it's a goodbye, though, you've opened yourself up to like the. Sorry, what'd you say?
What was that?
And then you have to be like, I said, fair winds, traveler, may rise's glory keep thee. Sorry.
May rise's glory keep thee, yeah. But then you get, you know what you do, Juice? You can leave then because you're done with that. You don't have to hang out in that moment.
Yeah, that's true. But you don't want to stew it regardless.
If you hit him with greetings and then say, fair winds, traveler, I feel like you've started to set
the tone.
You've
opened the door to them being a character.
Yeah, we're like, ah, greetings.
It is good, Travis. That's good. That is good. If you give someone a little hint that like, hey, I'm kind of a cut up.
Yeah.
You're going to want to watch out for me.
I don't think you can animate it. You can't be like, greetings. Greetings. And then you can hit them with fair winds, traveler, right at the end.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, there's a bookend here. Now the pattern makes sense. Now, when they pay, you'd have to say, that will be 20 coin of the realm, and just see how that
See,
plays
you're making
out.
Me uncomfortable.
Ah,
I don't, 13 that energy,
of the king's silver!
I mean, it's fun.
Are you willing to barter? I'll take 3 chickens for this Slim Jim.
I need to be warned before going into this business that there is going to be some creative anachronism taking place inside of it, or else it is entrapment. If there's a sign on the door, if it's decked out like a tavern and there's chickens outside the gas station, I know, like, okay, going in here, it's going to be a medieval times experience for me and my kids. That is okay.
True. Yeah, if I roll up and it's just a Sunoco, and then there's just a sign on the bathroom door that says privy.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing in the whole place?
You pop into a 7-Eleven, and there's a sorcerer behind the counter. I'm not ready. I wasn't ready for that.
But I love it. It depends on how long I've been traveling at that point. If I'm 10 minutes away from my house.
How weary are you?
I'm not ready for that. If it's like hour 8 of the drive and there's a sorcerer at the 7-Eleven,
no,
I'm good for another
way,
4 hours of driving.
4 a.m. 4 a.m. feels good
to me. I think it's 6, man.
Good dawn.
6 a.m.?
Sunrise. I think it's sunrise. Because then it's dawn and then it's morning.
6 a.m. is for me the cutoff where if we have like a flight the next day for tour and I know that I have to wake up before 6,
that's waking up the like, night before.
This is a problem. Like, this is a huge, like, it's like, I'll recheck that. Like, certainly I'm not doing this math right. I can't be waking up before 6 a.m.
Okay.
That's not right.
Okay, but all joking aside, guys, yeah. It's midnight, right? Night, dawn, morning, afternoon, evening.
You're trying to quantify something that can't be.
There is no these firm time.
Night ends when the sun comes up.
When does evening begin?
Afternoon, 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, afternoon. You said afternoon. That's interesting. Afternoon.
So maybe there's not a firm limit
evening
on
is 5
these
o'clock.
Things. It's all abstract. It's all, this is what
okay,
we're trying
but
to.
But we know that like the sun goes down, night begins. The sun comes up, day begins. That's,
if someone at 4:30 is like, have a good night.
That's crazy.
Enjoy the rest
of
the night. It's 4:30.
It's time to it is time to go. If I'm up at 4:30, it's the next day. If I'm in the gas station at 3:30, maybe I'm coming home from a very long shift.
Here's the problem. It's a societal problem and not a time problem. We need
problems with our society?
Yeah. We need to start having indicators that let me, the shopkeep, know if yeah. you're heading home or heading out.
Okay.
Right? So that way, if you're heading home, right, after yeah. a night shift and you're going to bed, it is night for you. You're going yeah. to bed.
Oh, but
you've just woken up and it's yeah. still early. It's
normally,
morning for you.
Normally this would be very difficult, but you are, as a truck station attendant, one of the is supremely well positioned to see what they're putting in their body. Right?
Ooh. Cool.
If you're my grandpa Dan, when he was up late driving for the railroad and he would stop at a truck stop, he would get a chocolate milk and a big ball of Excedrin for the caffeine and for his headaches. That was his thing. If I see someone getting a big bottle of Excedrin and chocolate milk, they're not going to sleep. You know
Are
what
you
mean?
Sure about
lot,
that?
They got a lot.
Best, his best vehicle for caffeine was Excedrin?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. He, that's why he's such an unhappy person.
If I chug a bottle. We should just have. Oh, okay.
I want a mush
squad.
I want 2 months
squad.
Welcome to Mush Squad, this podcast of the podcast profiling the latest and greatest of brand eating. I got two big stories. That's why I had to cut us off previously. I got two big stories. Here's the first one: Pop Tarts, Krispy Kreme. They're doing it,
huh?
Okay,
yeah. Pop Tarts beginning today for a limited time at participating shops, and I don't have a Krispy Kreme in Huntington, so I'm probably going to have to drive to Charleston. Pop Tarts is doing a Krispy Kreme collabo, Krispy Kreme popping off the new year with 3 insanely tasty new donuts. We got a Pop Tarts frosted strawberry donut, which is an unglazed shell, always so appetizing when they put it that way, filled with strawberry filling, dipped in shortbread icing, and topped with shortbread pieces, sugar sprinkles, strawberry filling drizzle, and a frosted Pop-Tart bites piece.
That's a lot of shit, man.
Hey, Justin. Can I have a moment to say something about these donuts and Pop-Tarts? One, it's really blurring the lines, because this isn't a wild, like, Pop-Tarts and donut are not that far apart.
They're friends.
In the, like, if I'm breaking down by species, phylum, kingdom, whatever,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
And they're so associates. To say we put strawberry icing and, like, a cream cheese topping, so now it's, like, a Pop-Tart donut. And even looking at this picture, at least for 2 out of the 3 styles, they've gone to the effort of just gluing on a little Pop-Tart.
So, yeah, the little Pop-Tart fascinator on some of these is what I really want to get to.
Yeah, I love that.
But the third design, you don't even get that.
Well, that's true, but it's a donut based on a Pop-Tart. So, like, I don't know what you...
But you can't tell me strawberry icing, the new thing in donuts.
It's strawberry filling, a shortbread icing, with pieces of shortbread on it. And
this just
crumble.
Feels so corporate.
They
to me.
Don't make Pop-Tarts bites.
This doesn't feel inspired
flavor.
The way that donuts normally do. This feels like a cash grab.
Yeah, it's a cash grab. That's true, Trav. That's actually like, wow. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, man, I think they're just doing this to sell donuts.
I
don't think
better.
This is about the passion.
I expect better from Kellanova, a leader in global snacking, international cereal, and noodles.
Usually they're in it for the heart. You know, they have the heart of a snacking company.
They're doing a Bound Sugar one and a chocolatey fudge donut one. Krispy Kreme and Pop-Tarts are coming together for the very first time, and you know the result will be crazy good, says Dave Skinna, Krispy Kreme Chief Growth Officer.
You need to pick a voice for Dave Skinna, Justin.
Well, Dave Skinna's voice when Count Donut does it is different from the Dave Skinna voice when I do it.
It actually, for a second, I thought, why is this so weird to me? And then I realized Count Donut's not
it's
here.
True, yeah.
Krispy Kreme and Pop-Tarts fans will love kicking off the year with this delicious collaboration. Now, let's check in with Kellanova. What did they have to say about this?
Pop-Tarts aren't just for the toaster. They can infuse culinary creativity to delight consumers. Krispy Kreme has done an incredible job of bringing this opportunity to life, combining their iconic donuts with the beloved flavors of Pop-Tarts to create a truly one-of-a-kind experience for fans of both brands. We're proud of this partnership to bring crazy good to donuts and donut lovers in unexpected ways.
Can you... Words mean things. And saying a once in a lifetime experience.
Once in a lifetime.
The idea that I'm going to eat this donut and then begin to weep because nothing will ever match that exact experience again. That's like, this is, I'll never know this again.
I also love when a press release refers to me as a consumer. That's awesome.
Because that's.
That makes it feel like this press release should be barking at me from a loudspeaker in the corner of my house. And every morning they deliver a hot and fresh. Oh, hey, who's this?
You know who that is?
It's one of the Mannings.
The younger Manning, I believe. Elijah.
Yeah, before I start this press release, I got this up for you guys. You could just kind of tell me what's happening here while I pull the press release.
Looks like Eli Manning is holding a bottle of Hidden Valley Ranch.
Bottle of ranch is holding a real bottle of ranch.
And he's squirted either some of himself or the ranch dressing bottle onto a big pepperoni pizza.
And his face and body language is a shrug.
He is making the littlest stinker face I've ever seen.
Now, what do you see?
He's apologizing.
Let's get more details, guys. What else do you see? Give me more clues. What else you got?
Hidden Valley Ranch is partnered with Pizza Hut to make a signature ranch pizza. And then I see just down here at the bottom, Justin, score a one-of-a-kind resin-encased collectible.
And then you've cut
off.
Is
it bottle of ranch or pizza or Eli Manning? Get a resin-encased Eli Manning. No, a pizza.
A resonant case collectible Pizza Hut pizza that Eli Manning has signed with ranch dressing.
Holy shit. That's signed what we're seeing scrawled across the pizza.
Yeah. So we've got three images here that you can use for this. One of these three. For the big game, you got to have big prizes.
Yeah.
And the new Easy Squeeze bottle from Hidden Valley Ranch is so exciting. And powerful.
Can you scroll back up? The second image is killing.
It's so fucking good, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Even the 10 other winners prize. Can I tell you the 10 other winners will receive a year's supply of Hidden Valley Ranch and Pizza Hut pizza.
So you wanted me to
scroll back up just real quick.
This is what you want. You want to see the
images? These are images you could use, I guess, to tell your friends, like, we could win this or we'll use this, right?
Right.
So the first one is just a picture. It has the logo and then ranch on one side, pizza on the other. And then the third picture, bottle of ranch, pizza. The middle
sitting on a yard line at a football field.
The middle one is a very close-up of just a hand holding the pizza, as if to say, in case you're wondering what it looked like, when Eli Manning will scrawl his name in ranch, a little something like this.
Some clumsy, I will say, layer mashing happening in the photo edit.
They're changing the game with the launch of their brand new Easy Squeeze bottle, making it even easier to add ranch flavor to everything.
I will say that's next level. I fucking hate that I have to put ranch dressing bottles upside down where they then rest on the very small nozzle end of the bottle, top heavy the whole time, threatening to fall over
and
knock over my
other
condiments.
That here, Easy Squeeze actually translates to we used thinner, cheaper plastic, so it's easier to crush it in your hand like a Coke bottle.
That's cool.
To celebrate, they are teaming up with Pizza Hut and football legend Eli Manning to create the one-of-a-kind Hidden Valley Ranch signature pizza delivered by Pizza Hut. This unexpected collectible is a crave-worthy Pizza Hut pepperoni pizza.
Unexpected is doing a lot of work there.
This unexpected collectible is the, yeah, forbidden, it should yes. probably say.
This unforeseen collectible.
Ungodly.
Unimaginable collectible.
This unfathomable collectible is a crave-worthy Pizza Hut pepperoni pizza autographed by Eli Manning using the precision and control of the new...
The precision and control afforded by these easily squeezily bottles.
Easy squeeze bottle preserved in resin for eternity.
You haven't tested that, Pizza Hut.
Certainly
you
not
don't
eternity.
Know.
You could encase this ranch covered pizza in a 10 by 10 foot lucite cube, and I would still be able to smell it. You could put this motherfucker in carbonite. I would smell it from the other room.
PSA, the largest and most respected third-party authentication and grading company for trade. Oh, sorry. PSA is the name of it. This is not a public service announcement.
Okay, cool.
PSA, the largest and most respected third-party authentication and grading company for trading cards and memorabilia, will authenticate the prize pizza. And they're, yeah, like, hey, Vicky, you won't believe the day I had today. I had to watch Eli Manning sign a pizza with ranch and then sign a paper that said, yep, he did it.
Yeah, that sure is that one.
Our new bottle design is a game changer for ranch lovers, making it even easier to enjoy every drop of Hidden Valley Ranch without the mess.
I don't think about ranch dressing coming in drops.
It's more of a stream.
It's a viscous, there's a viscosity. There's no dropping that's going to
happen.
If
a recipe called for 5 drops of ranch, you wouldn't quite know what
you would lose your mind.
Also, imagine if someone said, oh, yeah, baseball, this new innovation's a real game changer. We made it a little easier to swing the bat. Yeah. It's not really a game changer.
The game has changed for ranch lovers, though, I think it's fair.
Yeah, because the bottle
is. One lucky winner will receive the one-of-a-kind Hidden Valley Ranch signature piece encased in resin. And the 10 runners-up will receive a year's supply of Hidden Valley Ranch and a Pizza Hut pizza to create your own signature moments.
Yeah, but that's, you got to think about, one, the taxes you're paying.
You tell me
paying,
how much I need in a year.
The taxes you're paying on winning that pizza, you're going to end up having to give back at least 30% of that pizza. Also, when I win that resin-encased Eli Manning-signed pizza, do they also provide free security for me and the pizza for life? Because I've just become a target. You know what I mean?
You have a one-of-a-kind piece of art there.
Yeah.
And are they going to look after you? No,
this is
you
what I'm
look
saying.
After yourself.
Who's going to keep me and my family safe now that we have the crystal pizza?
Here's a question. Who pays the taxes? On this pizza.
That's
that
what I'm saying, Justin.
Is that my problem? Do I have to deal with that?
You got to stop Eli zooming Manning. In. You have to stop zooming into Eli Manning's face.
That face is actually saying very clearly, I'm not responsible for this.
Sorry,
so thank
guys. Thank you. So you can go get that pizza if you want. I will
or
say
you
this,
can just buy a pizza and
they say
some
sign it yourself.
On the actual thing, the website, it says that the pizza is dehydrated and you should not consume because it won't be safe to eat. Do you know how sad it is that they have to hedge against the possibility? Yeah. They're only doing one.
Yeah.
So they have to hedge against the possibility that the one singular pizza they make like this is going to end up in the hands of the one person on earth who would try, who would be like, yumma, yumma.
You guys remember that heartbreaking scene of The Walking Dead where they were all out of food and the only thing left was their Eli Manning signed pizza and they had to break open the resin?
Open. Yeah.
It's dehydrated. That means we have to mix it with zombie piss.
I thought the show took a weird turn in season 33. But.
And they mixed zombie piss with Eli Manning's dehydrated resin.
And they used Eli Manning zombie piss to do it. It was a good cameo. I can't believe they got him.
Yeah. There's still some good episodes. The whole original cast got et up already.
Yeah.
There's still some good episodes. The Eli Manning Lucite pizza arc was lost me a little bit.
But the robot stuff is great.
It's great. And like Negan, we're loving him.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. I know I've enjoyed getting to record it. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Hey, Florida or Flo-Rida. February 20th.
If Flo-Rida wanted to come to our shows.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? February 20th and 21st, my brother, me, and Taz are going to be in Tampa. It's our first live Taz in Florida. And then February 22nd, my brother, me is in Jacksonville, Florida. Tickets are on sale now. More info and ticket links, go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
We got a new plush that we been working on in collab with U2's. It's a Miggy plush, Miggy Mackerel, from the McElroy Family Clubhouse, a streaming program you can watch on our YouTube channel every Tuesday. It's only available for a little bit, though. It's only available till January 28th. So go to Miggy.U2's, that's YOUTOOZ.com, and grab yourself one of these while supplies last.
Speaking of, there's only a couple of Champions Grove packages left. It's the gaming event that I put on now in its second year, Memorial Day weekend.
It's fun. I did it, and I liked it, and you're not better than me.
There you go. So go to championsgrove.com for all the information and to see the remaining packages. Also, we've got a Wake Up and Do Good shirt in the merch store, and all proceeds from that shirt go to the Transgender Law Center, which organizes, assists, informs, and empowers thousands of individual community members towards a long-term national trans-led movement for liberation. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund.
So thank you so much to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Let this powerful music start your year off so right. And then let's end the show very quickly. Let's just end the show very quickly. We don't have the thing.
Maybe we should each share a personal fear.
No, go ahead, Juice. Juice had it.
That's all, folks.
You do still need to say your name, though.
No, I don't want to say that. I don't want to put my name on something that doesn't have an ending. You know what I mean? Like, I really am proud of the whole episode.
Could we recreate, like, if the three of us...
recap the episode?
Yes. No, like, recreate, like, imagine, like, we're going to create a sound bath, but it's the three of us getting into a car, turning on the engine, and driving away really fast. Like, you think we could make the sound of that?
We already did sound baths.
Ah, damn it,
like,
you're right.
We did it.
Yeah.
And we did Wishes, and now...
We could do The Distance by Cake a cappella.
Okay, let's just, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, let's
no bad ideas.
He's going for speed! That was sort of B-52s.
He's all alone, in his time of...
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line!
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
That's not going to be it,
by the end of the year, it's going to be sick!
We're going to have it.
We'll figure it out. I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.